What's happening, my fellow thinkers? Ever feel like life's throwing you curveballs faster than you can dodge them? Like your mind's a runaway train, your emotions are a roller coaster, and you're just along for the ride? Don't stress. The Stoics have been there. These ancient philosophers were like the original life coaches, figuring out ways to navigate the chaos and find inner peace. As Marcus Aurelius put it, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. In today's video, we're continuing our self-development series from the previous episodes. If you're new here or missed the last one, you can check out all the episodes in the playlist that'll pop up at the end of this video. These lessons aren't just educational content. They're a daily, all-encompassing approach to life. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. If you're digging this series, show some love by liking the video and dropping a keep it up in the comments below. In this video, we're not just dusting off some old philosophy books. We're diving into how Stoicism can be your ultimate toolkit for mastering your mind, taming your emotions, and living a life that's truly epic. We'll cover everything from ditching the drama and conquering anxiety to breaking free from FOMO and finding your inner zen. We'll tackle the big questions. Can you really be invincible to life's curveballs? How can you turn your fear into fuel? And what's the secret to chilling out when your inner Hulk wants to smash? As Seneca said, we suffer more often in imagination than in reality. So if you're ready to upgrade your mental software, level up your emotional intelligence, and live a life that's less about reacting and more about thriving, hit that like button, subscribe, and let's get this Stoic party started. Remember, as Epictetus said, it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. Let's make how you react truly matter. Lesson 1. You don't have to stay on top of everything. Permission to chill, philosophically. All right, folks, let's have a heart-to-heart about FOMO, the fear of missing out. It's that nagging feeling that everyone else is having more fun, being more productive, or living a more exciting life than you. It's the constant pressure to stay on top of everything, the latest trends, the newest gadgets, the hottest social media posts. The FOMO frenzy. In today's world, we're bombarded with information and images that make it seem like everyone else is living their best life. We scroll through Instagram and see friends on exotic vacations, colleagues getting promotions, and influencers living the high life. It's easy to feel like we're falling behind, missing out, and not measuring up. But here's the thing, FOMO is a lie. It's a trap that keeps us chasing after external validation and comparing ourselves to others. It's a recipe for anxiety, stress, and burnout. The Stoic antidote. The ancient Stoics had a different perspective. They believed that true happiness comes from within, not from external circumstances. They emphasized the importance of focusing on what we can control, our thoughts, our actions, our values, and accepting what we can't control, other people's opinions, the news cycle, the latest trends. As the Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. So how do we break free from the FOMO frenzy and embrace a more peaceful, fulfilling life? 1. Redefine success. Success isn't about keeping up with the Joneses or having the most followers on Instagram. It's about living a life that's true to your values, pursuing your passions, and making a positive impact on the world. 2. Prioritize what matters. What are the most important things in your life? Your family, your friends, your health, your hobbies, Make a list of your priorities and focus your time and energy on those things. As the saying goes, don't major in minor things. 3. Set boundaries. Learn to say no to things that don't align with your values or goals. Don't feel obligated to attend every social event, answer every email, or keep up with every trend. It's okay to miss out on some things. 4. Practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is the practice of paying attention to the present moment without judgment. By cultivating mindfulness, you can become more aware of your thoughts and feelings, and you can learn to let go of the fear of missing out. 5. Cultivate gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate what you have, rather than focusing on what you lack. This can be as simple as writing down 3 things you're grateful for each morning or evening. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The digital detoxer. Many people find that taking regular breaks from social media and technology can help them reduce stress, improve their mood, and reconnect with the real world. The slow living advocate. The slow living movement is all about slowing down, simplifying your life, and focusing on what truly matters. This might involve decluttering your home, spending more time in nature, or simply saying no to commitments that don't bring you joy. The mindful traveler. Mindful travel is about being present in the moment, savoring experiences, and connecting with the local culture. It's about slowing down and enjoying the journey, rather than rushing from one tourist attraction to the next. The bottom line. You don't have to stay on top of everything. In fact, trying to do so is a recipe for burnout and unhappiness. By redefining success, prioritizing what matters, setting boundaries, practicing mindfulness, and cultivating gratitude, you can break free from the FOMO frenzy and create a life that's more meaningful, fulfilling, and joyful. As the philosopher Seneca said, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor." Lesson 2. Philosophy as medicine of the soul, your DIY therapy session, minus the copay. All right, folks, let's talk about philosophy. No, we're not talking about dusty old books or abstract theories, although those can be cool too. We're talking about philosophy as a practical tool for living a better life, a kind of medicine for the soul. The soul's pharmacy. Think of philosophy as a pharmacy stocked with remedies for all sorts of mental ailments. Feeling anxious? Try a dose of stoicism. Struggling with meaninglessness? Existentialism might be your prescription. Overwhelmed by desire? A little Epicureanism could be just what the doctor ordered. But how does philosophy actually work as medicine? 1. Diagnosis. Philosophy helps us diagnose the root causes of our suffering. Are we plagued by irrational fears? Are we chasing after fleeting pleasures? Are we caught up in the rat race of comparison and competition? By examining our thoughts and beliefs, we can identify the underlying causes of our unhappiness. 2. Treatment. Once we've diagnosed the problem, philosophy offers a variety of tools and techniques for healing. This might involve challenging our assumptions, reframing our perspectives, practicing mindfulness, or cultivating virtues like courage, compassion, and wisdom. 3. Prevention. Philosophy isn't just about treating existing problems. It's also about preventing future ones. By developing a philosophical mindset, we can build resilience, cultivate inner peace, and create a life that's more meaningful and fulfilling. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The anxious overachiever. Sarah, a high-powered executive, was constantly stressed out and anxious. She turned to Stoicism for help by learning to focus on what she could control and accepting what she couldn't. She was able to reduce her anxiety and find more peace in her life. The disillusioned millennial. Mark, a recent college grad, was feeling lost and directionless. He found solace in existentialism, which helped him embrace the freedom and responsibility of creating his own meaning in life. The materialistic shopaholic. Lisa was constantly chasing after the latest trends and gadgets, but she never felt truly satisfied. She discovered Epicureanism, which taught her to focus on simple pleasures and meaningful relationships rather than material possessions. How to use philosophy as medicine, your DIY prescription. 1. Read widely. Explore different philosophical traditions and find thinkers who resonate with you. Don't be afraid to challenge your own beliefs and explore different perspectives. 2. Reflect deeply. Take time to reflect on your own life, your values, and your goals. What are the things that truly matter to you? What are the sources of your happiness and unhappiness? 3. Apply what you learn. Don't just read philosophy, live it. Put the principles you learn into practice in your daily life. Experiment with different techniques and see what works for you. 4. Seek guidance. If you're struggling with a particular issue, don't hesitate to seek guidance from a therapist, counselor, or spiritual advisor. They can help you apply philosophical principles to your specific situation and provide additional support and resources. The bottom line. Philosophy is not just an academic pursuit. It's a powerful tool for self-discovery, personal growth, and healing. By using philosophy as medicine, we can cultivate wisdom, resilience, and inner peace. As the philosopher Epicurus said, "The art of living well and the art of dying well are one." Lesson 3. For the hot-headed man and woman, chill out with a side of philosophy. Alright folks, let's talk about anger, not the righteous kind that fuels social justice movements, but the kind that makes you see red, clench your fists, and say things you later regret. We're talking about the hot-headedness that can ruin relationships, sabotage careers, and leave you feeling like a steaming pressure cooker. The anger epidemic. Let's face it, we live in an anger-inducing world. Road rage, political polarization, social media trolls. It's enough to make even the Dalai Lama lose his cool. But here's the thing. Anger isn't just an emotion. It's a habit. And like any habit, it can be broken. The ancient wisdom. The ancient philosophers understood the destructive power of anger. They saw it as a form of temporary madness, a poison that could corrode our relationships, our health, and our happiness. As Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, put it, anger, an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. So, how do we tame the beast within and cultivate a more peaceful, even-tempered disposition? 1. Recognize the triggers. What sets you off? Is it traffic jams, rude comments, or feeling like you're not being heard? Once you identify your triggers, you can start to anticipate them and develop strategies for dealing with them. 2. Pause and breathe. When you feel anger rising, take a moment to pause and breathe deeply. This will help you calm your nervous system and create some distance between you and your emotions. As the saying goes, don't react, respond. 3. Reframe your perspective. Anger often stems from a distorted view of reality. We exaggerate the importance of events, personalize other people's actions, and catastrophize the consequences. By reframing our perspective, we can see things in a more balanced and rational light. As the Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, our life is what our thoughts make it. 4. Practice empathy. Try to see things from the other person's perspective. What might they be going through? What might have led them to act the way they did? By cultivating empathy, we can reduce our anger and increase our understanding. 5. Find healthy outlets. Anger doesn't just disappear. It needs to be expressed in a healthy way. This might involve talking to a friend, journaling, exercising, or engaging in a creative activity. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The road rage warrior. Instead of yelling at the driver who cut you off, take a deep breath and remind yourself that they're probably just having a bad day. The keyboard warrior. Before you fire off that angry tweet or comment, take a moment to consider whether it's really worth it. Will it actually change anything? Or will it just add more negativity to the world? The frustrated parent. When your kids are driving you crazy, instead of yelling at them, take a break, go for a walk, or do something that helps you de-stress. Then, come back and address the situation with a calmer mind. The bottom line, anger is a natural human emotion, but it doesn't have to control us. By recognizing our triggers, pausing and breathing, reframing our perspective, practicing empathy, and finding healthy outlets, we can tame our tempers and cultivate a more peaceful, joyful life. As the Dalai Lama said, "If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion." Lesson 4. A proper frame of mind, your mental toolkit for a smooth ride. All right, folks, let's talk about mindset. Not the positive vibes only kind of mindset, but the practical, no-nonsense kind that can help you navigate life's twists and turns with grace and resilience. We're talking about cultivating a mental framework that allows you to see challenges as opportunities, setbacks as lessons, and life as a grand adventure. The mind as a lens. Think of your mind as a pair of glasses. The lenses you wear determine how you see the world. If your lenses are scratched, dirty, or distorted, your vision will be blurry and unclear. But if your lenses are clean, clear, and well-adjusted, you'll see the world in all its vibrant detail. The same goes for your mindset. If your mindset is negative, pessimistic, or self-defeating, you'll see the world as a place of struggle and hardship. But if your mindset is positive, optimistic, and growth-oriented, you'll see the world as a place of opportunity and possibility. As the philosopher William James put it, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind." So, how do we adjust our mental lenses and cultivate a proper frame of mind? 1. Challenge your assumptions. We all have assumptions about ourselves, others, and the world around us. But these assumptions are often based on limited information, past experiences, or cultural conditioning. By challenging our assumptions, we can open ourselves up to new perspectives, new possibilities, and new ways of being. 2. Practice gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote to negativity. When we focus on what we're grateful for, we shift our attention away from what we lack and towards the abundance that already exists in our lives. As the saying goes, what you focus on expands. 3. Embrace challenges. Challenges are not obstacles, they're opportunities for growth. When we embrace challenges, we learn new skills, build resilience, and expand our comfort zones. As the philosopher Nietzsche said, "That which does not kill us makes us stronger." 4. Cultivate optimism. Optimism is not about denying reality or pretending that everything is perfect. It's about choosing to focus on the positive, to see the silver lining in every cloud, and to believe in our ability to overcome adversity. As the psychologist Martin Seligman put it, optimism is a learned skill. 5. Practice self-compassion. We all make mistakes, experience setbacks, and have bad days. Instead of beating ourselves up, we need to practice self-compassion. This means treating ourselves with the same kindness and understanding that we would offer to a friend. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The laid-off optimist. Instead of wallowing in self-pity, the laid-off optimist sees this as an opportunity to explore new career paths, learn new skills, and reinvent themselves. The resilient entrepreneur. When faced with setbacks and failures, the resilient entrepreneur doesn't give up. They learn from their mistakes, adapt their strategies, and keep moving forward. The grateful cancer survivor. The grateful cancer survivor doesn't focus on the pain and suffering they've endured. They focus on the love and support they've received, the lessons they've learned, and the opportunity to live each day to the fullest. The bottom line: a proper frame of mind is not something you're born with. It's something you cultivate through practice, intentionality, and a willingness to challenge your own thinking. By adjusting your mental lenses, you can transform your perception of the world and create a life that's more joyful, fulfilling, and resilient. As the philosopher Epictetus said, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." Lesson 5. The source of your anxiety, a deep dive into your worry-wart brain. All right, folks, let's talk about anxiety. Not the occasional butterflies in your stomach kind, but the full-blown, heart-pounding, mind-racing kind that can leave you feeling paralyzed and overwhelmed. We're talking about the kind of anxiety that can rob you of sleep, ruin your relationships, and sabotage your success. The anxiety epidemic. Let's face it, anxiety is the common cold of the mental health world. It's everywhere, and it's affecting more and more people every day. We're living in a world of constant stimulation, information overload, and uncertainty. It's no wonder our brains are on high alert, constantly scanning for threats and dangers, both real and imagined. But here's the thing: anxiety isn't just a feeling, it's a habit. It's a pattern of thinking and reacting that we've learned over time. And like any habit, it can be unlearned. The philosophical roots. The ancient Stoics, like Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, had a lot to say about anxiety. They believed that it stems from our attachment to things we can't control: the future, other people's opinions, external events. As Epictetus put it, "People are not disturbed by things, but by the views they take of them." In other words, it's not the events themselves that cause anxiety, but our interpretation of those events. So, how do we get to the root of our anxiety and find a way to calm the storm within? 1. Identify your fears. What are you really afraid of? Are you worried about failing, being rejected, or not being good enough? Once you identify your fears, you can start to challenge them and develop strategies for dealing with them. 2. Challenge your thoughts. Our thoughts are not facts, they're just interpretations of reality. When you're feeling anxious, pay attention to your thoughts. Are they based on evidence, or are they just assumptions and fears? Challenge your negative thoughts with more realistic and positive ones. 3. Focus on the present. Anxiety often stems from worrying about the future or dwelling on the past. By focusing on the present moment, you can ground yourself in reality and reduce your anxiety. Practice mindfulness techniques like meditation or deep breathing to help you stay present. 4. Take action. Sometimes the best way to deal with anxiety is to take action. If you're worried about an upcoming presentation, prepare thoroughly. If you're anxious about a relationship, communicate your concerns. Taking action can help you feel more in control and reduce your anxiety. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The job interview. Jitters. Instead of letting your anxiety spiral out of control, prepare for the interview by researching the company, practicing your answers, and dressing for success. The social anxiety sufferer. If social situations trigger your anxiety, start small. Practice talking to strangers, join a club or group, or seek out social events that interest you. The chronic worrier. If you're constantly worrying about the future, try journaling, talking to a therapist, or practicing mindfulness techniques like meditation or yoga. The bottom line. Anxiety is a common human experience, but it doesn't have to rule your life. By understanding the source of your anxiety, challenging your thoughts, focusing on the present, and taking action, you can learn to manage your anxiety and live a more peaceful, fulfilling life. As the philosopher Seneca said, we suffer more often in imagination than in reality. Lesson 6 on being invincible, your philosophical armor against life's curveballs. All right, folks, let's talk about being invincible. No, we're not talking about superhero powers or becoming immune to physical harm. We're talking about cultivating a mental and emotional resilience that allows you to weather life's storms with grace, courage, and unwavering strength. The illusion of invulnerability. We all want to believe that we're invincible, that nothing bad can ever happen to us. But the truth is, life is unpredictable. We face setbacks, disappointments, and even tragedies. And if we're not careful, these events can shatter our sense of self and leave us feeling broken and defeated. But here's the thing, true invincibility doesn't come from avoiding pain or suffering. It comes from facing it head on, learning from it, and growing stronger as a result. The Stoic Shield. The ancient Stoics, like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca, understood this concept well. They believed that true strength comes from within, from our ability to control our thoughts, emotions, and actions, even in the face of adversity. As Marcus Aurelius put it, you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. So how do we cultivate this Stoic shield of invincibility? 1. Embrace adversity. Challenges are not obstacles, they're opportunities for growth. When we embrace adversity, we learn new skills, build resilience, and discover our hidden strengths. As the saying goes, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. 2. Focus on what you can control. We can't control everything that happens to us, but we can control how we respond. We can choose our attitude, our thoughts, and our actions. By focusing on what we can control, we empower ourselves and reduce our sense of helplessness. 3. Practice amor fati. Amor fati is a Latin phrase that means love of fate. It's the idea of accepting everything that happens to us, both good and bad, as part of our life's journey. By embracing amor fati, we can find meaning and purpose even in the most difficult circumstances. 4. Cultivate virtue. The Stoics believed that virtue is the key to a good life. By practicing virtues like courage, wisdom, justice, and temperance, we can develop a strong moral compass and live a life of integrity and purpose. 5. Find your inner strength. We all have inner strength, even if we don't always realize it. By tapping into our inner resources, we can overcome challenges, achieve our goals, and live a life that's truly invincible. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The resilient athlete. After a devastating injury, the resilient athlete doesn't give up on their dreams. They rehab diligently, adapt their training, and come back stronger than ever. The courageous activist. The courageous activist faces opposition, threats, and even violence, but they refuse to be silenced. They stand up for what they believe in, even when it's difficult or unpopular. The survivor. The survivor of trauma or abuse doesn't let their past define them. They seek help, heal their wounds, and use their experiences to help others. The bottom line. Being invincible is not about being immune to pain or suffering. It's about developing a mental and emotional resilience that allows you to face life's challenges with courage, grace, and unwavering strength. As the philosopher Nietzsche said, "He who has a why to live can bear almost any how." So, find your why, embrace your challenges, and become the invincible hero of your own story. Lesson 7. Steady your impulses, your inner Zen, master's guide to chill. All right, folks, let's talk about impulses. No, not the buy now button on Amazon or the urge to binge watch your favorite show. We're talking about those knee-jerk reactions, those split-second decisions, those sudden urges that can lead us down some pretty gnarly paths. The impulse roller coaster. We live in a world that's designed to trigger our impulses. Ads bombard us with promises of instant gratification. Social media feeds tempt us with endless distractions, and our phones buzz with notifications that demand our immediate attention. It's like being on a roller coaster of constant stimulation with our impulses in the driver's seat. But here's the thing. Impulses are often irrational, short-sighted, and driven by emotions rather than logic. They can lead us to make choices we later regret, damage our relationships, and sabotage our goals. The philosophical brake pedal. The ancient philosophers, like Socrates and Aristotle, understood the importance of self-control and moderation. They believed that our impulses, if left unchecked, could lead us astray from the path of virtue and happiness. As Socrates put it, the unexamined life is not worth living, but we could also say, the unexamined impulse is not worth following. So how do we pump the brakes on our impulses and cultivate a more mindful, intentional way of being? 1. Pause and reflect. When you feel an impulse arising, don't just act on it. Take a moment to pause, breathe, and reflect. Ask yourself, is this really what I want? What are the potential consequences of this action? Is there a better way to respond? 2. Identify the underlying need. Often, our impulses are driven by underlying needs. The need for connection, the need for validation, the need for pleasure. By identifying the need behind the impulse, we can find healthier and more sustainable ways to meet it. 3. Practice delayed gratification. The ability to delay gratification is a key component of self-control. Instead of giving in to every impulse, practice waiting, saving, and working towards your goals. As the saying goes, good things come to those who wait. 4. Cultivate mindfulness. Mindfulness is the practice of paying attention to the present moment without judgment. By cultivating mindfulness, you can become more aware of your impulses and choose how to respond to them. 5. Build healthy habits. Replace impulsive behaviors with healthier habits. If you tend to impulse shop, create a budget and stick to it. If you're prone to emotional outbursts, practice relaxation techniques like yoga or meditation. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The hangry shopper. Instead of grabbing that candy bar at the checkout counter, pause and ask yourself if you're really hungry or just bored. If you're hungry, choose a healthier snack. If you're bored, find a more productive way to pass the time. The reactive texter. Before you send that angry text, take a deep breath and count to 10. Then, reread the message and consider whether it's really necessary or helpful. The impatient driver. When you're stuck in traffic, instead of honking and cursing, put on some calming music or listen to a podcast. Remind yourself that getting angry won't make the traffic move any faster. The bottom line. Our impulses are a natural part of being human, but they don't have to control us. By pausing and reflecting, identifying our underlying needs, practicing delayed gratification, cultivating mindfulness, and building healthy habits, we can learn to steady our impulses and make more intentional choices. As the philosopher Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Lesson 8. Don't seek out strife. Your drama detox with a philosophical twist. All right, folks, let's talk about drama. No, we're not talking about the latest reality TV show or celebrity gossip. We're talking about the unnecessary conflict, the petty arguments, the pointless bickering that can drain our energy, sour our relationships, and leave us feeling like we've been run over by a truck. The drama magnet. Let's face it, some people are drama magnets. They thrive on conflict, they stir up trouble, and they seem to attract chaos wherever they go. But even if you're not a drama magnet, you've probably encountered your fair share of drama in your life. It might be a coworker who loves to gossip, a friend who always has a crisis, or a family member who thrives on conflict. Whatever the source, drama can be toxic, draining, and downright exhausting. The philosophical chill pill. The ancient philosophers like Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius had a simple solution for dealing with drama. Don't seek it out. They understood that we have a choice in how we respond to conflict and that we can choose to avoid it altogether. As Epictetus put it, if someone succeeds in provoking you, realize that your mind is complicit in the provocation. In other words, we have the power to choose how we react to other people's behavior, and we don't have to let them drag us into their drama. So, how do we break free from the drama cycle and cultivate a more peaceful, harmonious life? 1. Choose your battles. Not every disagreement needs to be a fight. Some things are simply not worth arguing about. Ask yourself, is this really important? Will this matter in a week, a month, a year? If the answer is no, let it go. 2. Set boundaries. Don't let drama queens and energy vampires suck you into their vortex of negativity. Set clear boundaries. Limit your exposure to toxic people and prioritize your own well-being. As the saying goes, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. 3. practice detachment. This doesn't mean being cold or uncaring. It means not getting emotionally invested in other people's drama. Remember, you can't control their behavior, but you can control your reaction to it. 4. Focus on the positive. Instead of dwelling on negativity and conflict, focus on the positive aspects of your life. Spend time with people who lift you up, engage in activities that bring you joy, and cultivate gratitude for the good things in your life. 5. Seek resolution, not revenge. If conflict is unavoidable, seek resolution, not revenge. Communicate your needs clearly and respectfully. Listen to the other person's perspective and try to find a solution that works for everyone. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The office gossip. Instead of engaging in gossip, change the subject or excuse yourself from the conversation. The drama queen friend. When your friend starts venting about their latest drama, listen with empathy, but don't get sucked into their negativity. Offer support, but don't fuel the fire. The toxic family member. If you have a family member who constantly creates drama, limit your interactions with them, set boundaries, and prioritize your own mental health. The bottom line, life is too short to waste on drama. By choosing your battles, setting boundaries, practicing detachment, focusing on the positive, and seeking resolution, you can create a more peaceful, harmonious life. As the philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. So, choose your thoughts wisely, and don't let drama steal your joy. Lesson 9. Fear is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't let your brain be a jerk. All right, folks, let's talk about fear. Not the healthy kind that keeps us from jumping off cliffs or petting wild tigers. We're talking about the irrational, paralyzing kind that keeps us stuck in our comfort zones, second-guessing our decisions, and living a life that's smaller than we deserve. The fear monster. Fear is a sneaky little bugger. It whispers doubts in our ears, paints worst-case scenarios in our minds, and convinces us that we're not good enough, smart enough, or brave enough to pursue our dreams. But here's the thing. Fear is often a liar. It's a master manipulator, distorting reality and creating illusions that hold us back. As the philosopher Seneca put it, we suffer more often in imagination than in reality. The self-fulfilling prophecy. Fear is not only a liar, it's also a self-fulfilling prophecy. When we believe our fears, we act in ways that confirm them. If we're afraid of failure, we might not even try. If we're afraid of rejection, we might not put ourselves out there. And if we're afraid of success, we might sabotage our own efforts. As Henry Ford famously said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." So, how do we break free from the grip of fear and create a more empowering narrative for ourselves? 1. Identify your fears. What are you really afraid of? Be specific. Instead of saying, "I'm afraid of failure," say, "I'm afraid of not getting the job I want." Once you identify your fears, you can start to challenge them and develop strategies for overcoming them. 2. Challenge your assumptions. Our fears are often based on faulty assumptions and irrational beliefs. Challenge your fears by asking yourself, "What evidence do I have to support this fear? Is it really likely to happen? What's the worst that could happen?" 3. Focus on the present. Fear often stems from worrying about the future or dwelling on the past. By focusing on the present moment, you can ground yourself in reality and reduce your anxiety. Practice mindfulness techniques like meditation or deep breathing to help you stay present. 4. Take action. The best way to overcome fear is to face it head on. Take small steps towards your goals, even if you're scared. As you take action, you'll build confidence and realize that your fears were often unfounded. 5. Surround yourself with support. Don't face your fears alone. Surround yourself with supportive friends, family, mentors, or therapists who can offer encouragement, guidance, and a listening ear. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The public speaker. Afraid of public speaking? Start by practicing in front of a small group of friends or family. Gradually work your way up to larger audiences. The job seeker. Afraid of rejection? Apply for multiple jobs, even if you don't think you're qualified. The more you put yourself out there, the more likely you are to find the right opportunity. The entrepreneur. Afraid of failure? Start small, test your ideas, and learn from your mistakes. Remember, every successful entrepreneur has faced setbacks and failures along the way. The bottom line. Fear is a natural human emotion, but it doesn't have to control us. By identifying our fears, challenging our assumptions, focusing on the present, taking action, and surrounding ourselves with support, we can break free from the self-fulfilling prophecy of fear and create a life that's bold, adventurous, and fulfilling. As the philosopher Nelson Mandela said, "The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." Lesson 10. Did that make you feel better? A reality check for your emotional outbursts. All right, folks, let's have a real talk about those moments when we lose our cool. You know, those times when we fly off the handle, throw a tantrum, or say something we later regret. We're talking about those emotional outbursts that leave us feeling drained, embarrassed, and wondering, what the heck was that all about? The emotional roller coaster. We're all human, and we all experience a wide range of emotions. Joy, sadness, anger, fear, excitement, and everything in between. But sometimes, our emotions get the best of us. We react impulsively, lash out at others, or wallow in self-pity. As the philosopher Aristotle put it, "Anyone can become angry, that is easy, but to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everyone's power and is not easy." So, how do we get a handle on our emotions and avoid those embarrassing meltdowns? 1. The pause button. When you feel an emotional outburst brewing, hit the pause button. Take a deep breath, step back from the situation, and give yourself a moment to cool down. This will help you avoid saying or doing something you'll later regret. 2. The reality check. Ask yourself, is this reaction helping the situation? Is it making me feel better? Is it aligned with my values and goals? Chances are the answer is no. Emotional outbursts rarely solve problems. They usually just make things worse. 3. The reframe. Instead of reacting emotionally, try to reframe the situation. Look for the humor, the irony, or the silver lining. As the saying goes, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. 4. The root cause. Dig deeper and try to understand the root cause of your emotional outburst. Are you feeling stressed, overwhelmed, or insecure? Once you identify the underlying cause, you can start to address it in a more constructive way. 5. The healthy outlet. Find healthy ways to express your emotions. This might involve talking to a friend, journaling, exercising, or engaging in a creative activity. Real-world examples. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The road rage incident. Instead of yelling at the driver who cut you off, take a deep breath and remind yourself that it's not worth getting worked up over. Put on some calming music and focus on getting to your destination safely. The office meltdown. If you're feeling overwhelmed at work, take a break, step outside for some fresh air, or talk to a trusted colleague. Don't let your emotions dictate your actions. The family feud. Instead of engaging in a heated argument with your family member, take a step back and try to understand their perspective. Look for common ground and try to find a solution that works for everyone. The bottom line, emotional outbursts are a natural part of being human, but they don't have to control us. By hitting the pause button, checking in with reality, reframing our perspective, addressing the root cause and finding healthy outlets, we can learn to manage our emotions and respond to challenging situations with grace and composure. As the philosopher Seneca said, the greatest remedy for anger is delay. All right, my fellow Stoics, that's a wrap on another episode of our self-improvement series. We've covered a lot of ground today, from conquering FOMO and taming anger to finding your inner zen and embracing your inner invincibility. Remember, this is a journey, not a destination. It takes time, practice, and a whole lot of self-compassion. But trust me, the rewards are worth it. When you start applying these Stoic principles to your life, you'll notice a shift. You'll feel calmer, more centered, and more in control. You'll start to see challenges as opportunities, setbacks as lessons, and life as a grand adventure. So, keep practicing, keep learning, and keep growing. And don't forget to like this video, subscribe to my channel, and hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode. Until next time, stay Stoic, my friends.